And also, when you're young, I mean, you don't know that things can go wrong, you know? Like,
yeah, being
you
know,
now, if I started
option.
A business today, I'd be scared to death.
This is A New Angle, and I'm your host, Justin Angle, marketing professor at the University of Montana. This podcast is all about creativity and hustle happening in and around the great state of Montana. This is a fun week. We sit down with Charlie Beaton of the Big Dipper. I mean, this episode is really just about fun. The Big Dipper, they sell ice cream. Can't think of a product that just does a better job of putting a smile on people's face. And a lot of people. I mean, there's a line around the block pretty much every night of the summer and most nights in the wintertime. And people are lining up in the snowstorm to get ice cream from the Big Dipper. And it's just awesome to learn more about Charlie's work, his path that he took to get to where he is, the decisions he made along the way. And a couple things in particular I'd like you to pay attention to in this conversation. First, just some parallels between Charlie's path and Matt McQuilkin, the guest from last week, the co-founder of Black Coffee. I mean, the two of these guys each put together a set of life experiences that uniquely prepared them for success in their chosen businesses. The second thing I'd like you to pay attention to is Charlie just has a pretty clear sense of what he wants out of his business, what he wants out of his relationship to his work, what he wants out of family and his personal life. And just that clarity was particularly inspiring. We live in an age where there's just all kinds of pressures to overinvest in our careers and define ourselves in terms of the work we do. In fact, we dug into that with Meg Witcher a couple of weeks ago. And I think Charlie seems to kind of operate outside of all that. He's got a clear sense of what he wants to do with his business, how he wants it to grow, and how he wants his relationship to work to sort of operate in his life. And that was kind of fun to learn about that that clarity of purpose that Charlie has. Anyway, super fun conversation, and I'll turn it over to Charlie Beaton.
All right, so we're here with Charlie Beaton, owner and founder of Big Dipper Ice Cream. Charlie, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's fun.
So, how did you start this?
Like, man. Well, so I teach principles of marketing.
Okay.
It's my primary course. It's a survey course that all students here have to take. And we wanted to get all of our core curriculum online, mm-hmm. or at least available online,
yeah.
right? And you know, I was like, well, if that's going to happen to this class, I'm going to be the one to do it.
Yeah.
And as I was building out the class, I was dragging my heels with the content piece. Mm-hmm. And most people do videos.
Yeah.
But I've been listening to podcasts a lot myself. Yeah. I've been using them.
I have more in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I drive to Billings a little bit. So I kind of get some excited for my trip because like, all right.
Pick yeah. these you just get into something, you think, yeah. and there's so many different ones out yeah. there. And so I've been using them in the place of readings with the students and sure. getting good results.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's simply just because they're listening rather than not reading, you know? You know, so I wanted to build something that was digestible. It didn't tether students to a screen.
Yeah.
You know, so many of our students are working or sports or whatever. Yeah. And so.
And they always have their earbuds in.
Yes.
All the time.
So that's what started the idea.
That's a great idea.
Started, built 10 episodes where we like do 5 or 10 minutes of course content and then a half hour interview with somebody awesome doing yeah. something in that area. And as I was doing these interviews, I thought, shit, this could actually be something for the school.
Yeah.
So here we are. So I got to say, I think you must have the happiest job in Missoula. And Big Dipper, you've been in business 23 years this year. Is that right?
I think that's right. Since 95. So yeah, 23 years, officially kind of got it started in about January of 95, along with Tim O'Leary, who owns the Kettle House.
Okay.
He and I kind of got started at the exact same time.
Right on. So. Yeah.
So grew up in Helena, went to MSU for 1 year in architecture, decided I probably wasn't going to become an architect. Came here for business in 88, I think.
88.
My second year, yeah.
Wow. Graduated, you said
91?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the business, general business degree, specific
yeah,
major?
Yeah, I had an emphasis in human resource management.
Okay.
I don't think I actually completely understood what that meant, I think.
What does that mean? You probably have human resource management at the Big Dipper, I would think.
Yeah, it means you know, dealing with employees.
Dealing with people.
And I don't actually deal with as many employees. I kind of oversee the whole operation, but there's some managers that do more of the hiring and that type of thing.
So, okay, so graduate in 92 and...
91. Yeah, well, it was winter 91, so I mean, geez, another... I missed it by a couple weeks.
Right. Okay. So anyway, get out of school and what comes after that?
I had really had no idea what I was going to do. I was working at Goldsmith's, which was a really cool ice cream shop on the river.
Okay.
A bunch of friends all worked there. Really fun job. Learned how to make ice cream. It's a really popular place for like breakfast and lunch. I worked there making ice cream. I'd approached the owner about maybe expanding that business, and it wasn't really in their interest at the time. And so I ended up getting what I considered, you know, a real job with, it's called Prudential Preferred Financial Services. And it was doing, you know, selling insurance and
insurance sales
and that kind of thing. Yeah. But when you're 20 years old, you know, you really don't have, you don't know a lot of people with insurance, life insurance needs and,
yeah, because I mean, that's how you start out in that business. You got to kind of sell to your personal network.
And it was really tough. And I think those companies run – it's a great way for them to make money because they don't have to pay renewals to those agents because they move on to other things. And you really – I mean, listen, in Missoula when you're 20, all of your friends are – everyone's just skiing and biking and goofing off. No one really had their mindset on, you know – careers and making money.
Sure.
So anyway, I lasted about a year and a half, 2 years now.
Okay.
And towards the end, when I realized like, oh, this is not going to be a career that's going to work for me, I started writing a business plan for Big Dipper.
Mm.
And I'd written a similar business plan when I took an entrepreneurship class at U of M.
So this idea was poking around.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah. And so I realized like the only thing I know how to do is make ice cream. That's really my marketable skill.
Okay.
And I wanted to own my own business. I thought that would be exciting because there was a point when I was going to open a coffee shop. And I think at that time, Food for Thought opened up and Catalyst.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, man, market is saturated. It was like pre-Starbucks.
Yeah, how many? Like, how many we
can't handle. Missoula can't handle more than two coffee shops. We've got Butterfly too. So,
oh geez.
So I wrote a business plan for Big Dipper, and I got that rolling.
And so was this interest in ice cream just sort of accidental because you'd worked at that other shop, or is there something about ice cream in particular that drew you in?
Accidental, but I loved that job.
Okay.
And I got to be my own boss. We put in our own music, listen to our own music. Make ice cream. It was fun. Ice cream is a happy food. Yeah. Like everyone likes it. When you serve ice cream to someone, they're pretty excited about it. You know, when you approach someone to buy life insurance, you know, you're talking about death. You know,
I can't think of two different products.
Right.
Absolutely.
And my mom had been in food service. She was a dietitian. She actually made ice cream at a hospital.
Okay.
Years and years ago.
Oh, man.
And then she was she had a cooking television show, and she was the food editor of the Spokesman Review. So I grew up in a kind of a foodie type family. So I understood dessert, and I loved ice cream growing up.
Yeah.
So, and I saw a market for it because what was going on at Goldsmith's, they had a little bit of wholesale business and a really popular retail business. I had no plans to do a retail business because they had their thing going. My plan was manufacture ice cream, sell it to restaurants.
Okay.
And so that's what I started doing. A good friend of mine growing up was Tim O'Leary and Susie Rizza, his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And they were down in Colorado, and he called me up one day and said, hey, we're in town, let's grab a beer. We went down to Iron Horse and we're having a beer, and he's like, I'm going to start U-Brew,
mm-hmm.
a brewery, which was kind of a new thing that was coming from Canada where people would come in, brew their own beer.
Okay.
And then you'd come back a couple weeks later.
Yeah, leave it there on-site facility. Okay.
And that was really novel. And that was something popular in Canada because the tax on beer was expensive. So
way around that.
And at the time, you know, we didn't have a bunch of breweries, and import beers weren't as big a deal. So anyway, so he had this plan, and I said, well, I have this plan to make ice cream. And so we looked for a couple months for a spot and settled on where the Kettle House is now on Myrtle.
Okay.
It was a pottery place. It was just completely filled with dirt.
Yep.
cleaned the whole place out, put in floor drains, like the whole bit. Most of the cleanup and the construction was for him.
Okay, so are you sort of going in joint on this property in a way?
No, it's like more his property.
Okay.
I was helping him get started, and then I was occupying a little corner in the back that I was.
So help me get this thing off the ground. Yeah. Help me get the property sorted out. I'll let you do your ice cream thing in the corner.
Right, yeah. I'll pay him some rent. That helps him. And so for the first year, you know, I had a small ice cream machine. I had a walk-in freezer, a little desk, a sink, you know,
yeah,
just a little
yeah.
tiny ice cream shop. So I made ice cream in there for about a year or so and sold it to places like Butterfly Herbs and the Good Food Store and, you know, things like that.
Sure.
A lot of places that don't exist anymore.
And at this point, like, do you know that you're good at it, or is that starting to emerge?
I was pretty confident that I was good at it because I was good at it at Goldsmith.
And how do you? I mean, what's the signal? Just that your buddies are digging it, or
yeah, because creativity.
Okay.
And also when you're young, I mean, you don't know that things can go wrong. You know, like
yeah, being
you
know,
now, if I started
option.
A business today, I'd be scared to death.
Sure.
Because, yeah. Well, geez, I don't want to lose my house. I got kids and. Family and wife, cars, but
yeah,
when you're 20, early 20s, like you could just told someone the other day who's having struggles trying to start a business, and he was really worried about it and just hitting some roadblocks. And I was like, "You're 27. You could lose everything right now. Like everything you've ever saved up for, you could lose everything and start over, and it's not that big a
it's
deal.
Still fine. Yeah.
I can't do that. You can't do that. You know, we're older. We have families. That's a scary prospect. So when you're young, I wasn't scared of failing.
Sure. Yeah.
And, but yeah, so that's how it started there. A year later, the opportunity came to move into the building that we're at now on
okay.
Fifth Higgins. So
it was, and that was, did you build that building or was it there?
No, that's been there forever. In fact, it was a gas station originally. It'd been a number of things
mm-hmm.
and there was a catering company that was in there for 2 or 3 years, and the woman was moving her business downtown, and I was telling her, I was kind of considering doing a retail store. A good friend of mine, Dale Bickle, who's the CAO of City of Missoula right now, he and I grew up together. He went to school, business school here with me, and he was doing my taxes, and he was like, "Oh, I'd really like to own a business." And we were like, "Well, let's start an ice cream store off of this." So,
sure.
So he helped my wife and I start the store. And he was part of that for about maybe six or seven years.
Okay.
And we bought him out. But,
okay.
Yeah.
And so what does that thought process look like of, you know, you've got your wholesale business where you're selling to Butterfly Herbs
right.
or you know, whoever, and then you think, okay, I want to sell direct to customers, open up yeah. a stand. Like, what yeah. is that? What made you come to that realization?
That there was an opportunity, that there was potential to do this. I hadn't really, it really wasn't part of the original plan.
Yeah.
But I think it was my friend coming to me saying, "Have you know, we should do this." And it kind of just evolved into, like, oh, this could be really neat. Well, now I have it. It's no big deal. We are making ice cream. It's a good product. Now we should retail. Now that side, it was probably a little harder than I thought to get started.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't as busy as I expected it to be when we started.
You didn't have a line around the block on day one
you
do now?
No way.
Yeah.
And I drove home. You know, I drive home every day past Dairy Queen, which would just be like, you know, 1,000 people. So.
Sure, sure.
So it took time.
What were some key milestones in that process? Like, when did you sort of figure out, okay, I got to change this, or this is working, we're going to double down on this?
A couple of things I would say. At one point when I was able to buy our building,
okay,
was a huge deal because the rents were getting expensive in the neighborhood, and I was really worried that we wouldn't be able to afford to stay there
yep.
or something could happen.
Sure, you got some autonomy.
So once my wife and I bought that building, we felt like we had the security of like, okay, now no one can take this away from us.
Yeah.
We're here.
Okay.
So that was really important. And once we kind of started, experimenting more with interesting flavors and getting more than just, I mean, we always did some different things, you know. We started working with some different chefs, and that was a big change in point, too, I think. But it's just, you know, it was just a slow evolution, and it took a while for it to get really popular.
Okay. And when was that about, when you felt like, wow, this thing is, there is that line around the block, and this is the place?
Yeah, closer to like 2005, I think.
Okay.
So after having...
Eight
to 10 years.
Okay.
You know, it was doing fine, and things were rolling along, but then it kind of just turned a corner.
Yeah.
We did this thing where we have a lot of friends that own businesses. Like, I, you know, Bob Marshall owns Biga Pizza, uh-huh. and Jason Willenbrock owns Pas Chocolat.
Sure.
And so we had different friends that were a bunch of different friends, like Paul Meyer, who's not here anymore, but he owned 515 and was a local chef. And we thought, why don't we feature chefs every month and have them come up with flavors?
Yep.
So they came up with these really wild flavors. And we featured them, and it really took off. And so we're actually doing that again. We're bringing that back in the next couple months. We just did one with Jason for Valentine's Day, but we just made some ice cream with Bob Marshall, and we did some with Burn Street Bistro too. So that connection, working together with other businesses, is really fun. And then I guess in the next milestone for us, I think, was when Twitter and Facebook became popular.
Oh, interesting.
Because it became a new avenue for marketing.
Okay.
And we'd been making cold smoke ice cream for a while.
Uh-huh.
But we put it on when Twitter was kind of new. We put it on Twitter, like, hey, we're making cold smoke ice cream. And the news stations were following us.
And then they were
always looking for stories. And then they got on the news, and then made it on to like MSNBC, and then to the Today Show needed some for something they were doing. And so that was
good. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to remember the days before Twitter or Facebook. Like, how would you find out that Big Dipper was running a cold smoke special?
Yeah.
I mean, it would maybe be word of mouth. Maybe we'd post
your orders. I've never done a lot of – I've always done more guerrilla-style marketing.
Yeah.
I've played music in bands for years. I've been in
– Absolutely. That's a big part of this story we're going to get into.
You're going to get to it. So I use some of the things that I learned from that part of my life in business.
So maybe we'll just go there. So you are the lead singer for VTO. What does VTO stand for?
It stands for Vi Thompson Overdrive.
Okay.
It did. Still does in a certain way, I guess. She was a TV personality in town, had this little television show. And it was just like a kind of a funny thing to name our band. And this is in 90. It's been since 92.
Is the same band, same original members?
It's not the same original members, but all of them will be playing with us this May in the Top Hat.
That's awesome. So
I'm friends with all of them.
So this enterprise started in college, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah. So I always did.
Part of the punk scene, is mm-hmm. that? Yeah.
Yeah. Always been involved with music for many years. That's how I know, like, a lot of friends like Kiefer Hahn.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you're in the kind of the do-it-yourself punk rock scene,
yeah,
you know, you put on your own shows.
Mm-hmm.
So you go and you rent the Union Hall, and then you go and you rent a PA system, and you hire a sound guy, and then you go to Kinko's and make flyers. You make the flyers not with your computer, but you know, you're cutting things out and taping things up and whatever.
Yeah, you're hustling.
And then you go all over town, all over campus. You put flyers up, and you get creative with your marketing. How you get the word out. And then you have a show, and sometimes we'd get...
What are some of the most creative things you had to do? Like, you know, you say get creative, but... And guerrilla, what does that mean? Like, how are you trying to drive people?
Well, you're not going to be able to afford to put an ad in the Independent or
right.
the Missoulian. So you're using flyers, or you're making handbills, and you're downtown, you're handing them out to people.
Yeah.
You know, or you get on KUFM. And there was no college radio station at the time, so KUFM. Mm-hmm. So you would do just creative, different things, or make stickers. And you put stickers on
over everything.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And you handed them to kids skateboarding around town. And so we would put on these shows down at the Moose Lodge in Union Hall. I mean, I used to promote shows back then, and I put on Green Day in the Union Hall.
Wow.
I did the Offspring and what called Trends, but it's been a bunch of other things like the Palace now.
Okay.
Put on a ton of bands that are actually still today really big bands, but we'd bring in bands, we'd promote it, and they'd stay at our house. And my wife and I used to call our house the punk rock bed and breakfast. We'd have all these bands that stay at our house and feed them breakfast the next day. And that, you're working on zero budget. Nobody has any money, you know.
Yep.
And but we're putting on the shows, and you're taking money at the door, and you're paying the bands, you're paying all the sound people.
Doing all the functions.
And that's, you know, besides getting a degree and learning business, that was a really practical business experience.
Right.
And so you take that exact thing, and now you have Big Dipper ice cream. It's like, geez, I don't have $300 to put an ad in the Missoulian. Mm-hmm. So how do you get the word out there? So you just do similar things. Or yeah. One time, Leif from Le Petit got a screen printing press.
Okay.
And we made Big Dipper ice cream shirts with our logo.
Sure.
And I got a whole bunch of really cheap, like, Hanes white t-shirts, he screened a whole bunch of Big Dipper shirts, and then we just gave them to everybody.
Yep, get the word out.
So we're giving out t-shirts. So it's the same mentality that I had from the do-it-yourself, you know, punk rock scene mm-hmm. for Big Dipper. And so to this day, it's still, that's the fun part in marketing is, what can you do that's a little different without, because you could spend so much money on, you know, television, radio, and print.
Yeah. All those traditional
we don't do
channels.
A lot of those things. It doesn't work for us necessarily. Mm-hmm. Sometimes maybe just the line in front of Big Dipper is enough advertising.
Yeah, that's a lot of advertising.
Yeah.
Yeah. And along those lines, I mean, and you're to the point now, and I don't know quite when this started. We'll maybe get into it, but your commitment to this community you exude it. I mean, you're all these connections and all these other business owners that you are networked with, mm-hmm. But from a place of community, not from a place of sort of trying to profit off of the people.
Right. Here. It's everything. I think, I grew up in in city politics. She's a city council person in Helena, but she volunteered. She volunteered for everything. She's helped start the Helena Food Bank. I think it's called the Food Share. She was on the steering committee for that. She volunteered for church stuff. She volunteered at elections. She did all that. And growing up, she really stressed the importance of volunteering. So I've always, for a long time, been involved with volunteering and being involved with different things like the Downtown Association. I'm on the BID board and just making those connections. And that, you know, just because for lots of reasons, it's the right thing to do. But it's fun. You meet a lot of people. And then ultimately, it comes back to you because it helps your business.
Sure. Sure. Involved in a ton of events around town as well.
We sponsor a lot of events. Yeah. I've been involved in music and I've always loved running a lot, as you know, and cycling. So those are the things that we've really done a lot with. Right now we have a women's trail running team that we sponsor.
Yeah, how did that come about?
M. Kendrick came to me. She worked at Runner's Edge, great gal, great runner, and she had this idea to do it. These ladies love Big Dipper, and they knew that I love running and trail running, so they started this trail running.
Sounds
team.
Like an easy sale.
Yeah. And from that, it splintered off into, there's a Little Dipper running team. Do you know about that?
Is that with the kids?
Yeah, it's the kids. Yeah, and it seems like it might be expanding a little bit this year.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I don't have as much to do with it. It's more, you know, just
well, but you've created this platform where, you know, others can now sort of grow that community as well.
But yeah, it's just really been fun to be involved in it. And, you know, if I'm not, maybe I don't have time to be racing bikes anymore, running as much, but you can still be involved by, you know, I've sponsored some runners.
Or, right.
You know, we work pretty closely with Runner's Edge and we donate ice cream to all their races. So those types of partnerships are exciting.
It's going to feel good. I mean, you just add happiness when you come in.
Yeah. And, you know, we do get hit up for, you know, everybody and everything. But we try to do as much as we can. It might not always be a lot, but do something. And it just keeps your name out in the community.
Yeah. You said you get asked to do everything and for good reason. So what are some of your like guiding principles with regard to what you say yes to first and what you maybe
things that either myself, my wife, or my employees are involved in. So I try to be as supportive. If some of my employees are, you know, in a play or they're on a swim team or something like that, you know, and those organizations need something, we'll help that way.
Sure,
so through friends,
family.
Like, we're going to be doing something with the MAC swim team.
Oh, great.
Because a good friend, Jed Dennison's involved with that. So
yeah.
Things, you know, that my friends are involved with.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Again, supporting, you know, your yeah. community, your network.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as the operation's grown, as Big Dipper's grown and been successful, and now you've opened, is it two more locations? You got a Helena shop and a Billings shop.
Yeah. The Helena shop's a franchise that Anna Doran used to run for University of Montana, started. I helped her, and she recently just sold it to her manager, but I think Anna's going to stay on, be helping us do some other things.
Okay.
But that's going great over there. And then my manager, Brian, and I started a store over in Billings, and Leah, who was our truck manager, she also owns a small percentage of that as well. So
really?
That's what's going on over there.
And so what was the kind of thinking with those? How did you know you were ready to expand the Big Dipper footprint?
I wasn't planning on it. Anna came to me for the Helena when I grew up in Helena. So she just pestered me to do that. And I said, all right, let's do it.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. So it's turned out great. The Billings one was my manager who also owns half of the Big Dipper mobile business. So we have a side business, which is our ice cream truck business.
Okay.
Which also does all the vending at the university and places like that. And I think he just needed more ownership in something, you know, some equity in something. And this seemed, and his in-laws were from Billings. We thought this would be a great opportunity over there. A guy by the name Jeremiah, who owns the building, his family owns the building that we're in Billings, approached us, and he kind of bugged us about putting a Big Dipper in there. He'd kind of gotten wind that maybe we were thinking about doing a Big Dipper in Billings, so, and he had the perfect spot, so it's turned out great.
Nice. And are those as busy in the summertime?
Not as busy as Missoula. Helena's getting busier and busier, and Billings is starting to get busier.
Yeah.
Billings is a different, you know, just a different kind of town.
Different spot.
Yeah, but it's good.
And so as you're looking ahead, so what is, I mean, how do you define success in your business with your people?
Having free time.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't get into owning my own business, so I have to work 60, 70 hours a week. I've done that, but it's not why I started it. And I know business owners do that where they work just so much. But we live in Missoula, and just like I know you know, it's like we want to be running, biking, skiing,
outside,
hanging out with our kids, and so being outside. So the motivation is to, you know, not work too much.
I like that, to not work too much.
Yeah.
And so I'd assume you have like some notion of what is the appropriate amount of growth or just the appropriate sort of steady state for the business. You think about that?
Yeah. It's gone in a lot of different directions.
Yeah.
So I'm concerned that it gets like too complicated of a business.
Sure.
So I'm not sure where it goes from there. And there's always, you know, talk of like, oh, well, maybe we should do Bozeman. Maybe we should do Whitefish or Kalispell or Great Falls. So.
Well, we have an entire system that's based on growth, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the assumption that
yeah.
And it's more than the assumption. Like if you see it like in a lot of businesses, if they don't grow, they are in huge trouble.
Right.
Like the whole model's built around
this. I think what's different for us is it's solely owned by my wife and I.
Yeah. Yeah.
That gives and you a lot of I have friends that own a business where there's investors and they're saying, hey, you know, you need to keep opening stores.
Yeah. You got to deliver.
Yeah. So we need returns on this investment. We think you need to open a store here. You need to open a store there.
Yeah.
And so that's what they're doing. And they're doing it okay. But it seems stressful. And it's nice that we've always grown at a really slow pace.
And has that, I mean, when you say it's owned solely by you and your wife, was that a non-negotiable sort of foundation from the start? Like we will not take on debt. We will not sell off equity.
No, we haven't really talked about it. She's an owner by name, just that by sure. the fact that we're married. But she's not really involved the day-to-day of the business anymore. She has been in the past. Uh-huh. So it's kind of my deal, and we're just happy with the way it's going right now.
Yeah.
You never know. It'll change.
That's true. I mean, what are the if anything, I mean, yeah, if things did keep you up at night about the business, what would they be? What are the sort of things that might scare you?
Oh, you worry about losing key employees that you really count on because, you know, we've delegated a lot of the day-to-day to people. So when you have someone that leaves for another job or someone getting hurt or those types of things are the types of things that probably worry me the most.
Sure. What do you think is next for Big Dipper?
Well, we are getting a ice cream bike built. It's almost done by Coaster Pedicabs. Do you know those guys?
No, I don't. Tell me about
it. It's a fascinating business. It's really cool. You should look, if you look it up.
Coaster Pedicabs.
Yeah. So out in Bonner, there's a business that moved from, I believe, back east. And they employ, I think they have about 15 full-time employees. And it's really fascinating. They make pedicabs. So bikes that pull sure. little cabs, and they sell those all over the country. They use them at festivals and uh-huh. big cities, and they sell advertising on the back of them. And they wanted to get into doing an ice cream bike. They've also made bikes for Starbucks recently.
Okay.
And making bikes for UPS for delivery in cities.
In tight areas, yeah.
And they're making all this, like they're welding everything. I mean, they're building everything right there.
Right out in Bonner.
Yeah, it's really a fascinating business. And they wanted to do an ice cream bike, so it's almost done. So we're gonna have a bike that we can drive around, and it'll be kind of a companion piece to our ice cream truck, and so we can use it at the football games and maybe on campus a little bit. We'll do some prepackaged little containers of ice cream.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. And how about on the running space? You said you had this knee surgery a year or so ago. Is that right?
Yep.
Just about a year. Starting to feel better.
Yeah, finally can run again a little bit.
That's got to make you feel better.
Yeah. It's hard.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I do a lot of I've often said that my dissertation was largely written on the run, in the sense that a lot of my best, that doesn't mean they're good, but my best ideas came out on long runs or long bike rides.
Yeah, I was just talking to our mutual friend Kiefer Hahn about that this morning, how, you know, you go on a run and the wheels are turning in my head and all the best ideas I've ever had have come out of a run, and you get back and you're just like, I figured it out. You know, it's just like, ding. Mm-hmm. And that's for me running. I've been a runner since I was in fifth grade.
Right.
For a long time. And I love it. So when I couldn't run because of my knee, it was pretty frustrating.
Stifling.
Yeah.
So I'm not a musician at all. I mean, I love music, but I can't play or sing mm-hmm. for a lick. Does that kind of creative, juices flowing approach that you experience with running in your business, does that all apply to running in your music?
I think it's all interconnected. I mean, running doesn't have the creative side of it. I guess for the music side of things, it's just that creativity and the idea of doing something that's a little different than not everybody else is doing.
Yeah.
I like that aspect of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to know you're running again.
Yeah.
And hopefully, if my knee cooperates, we can share the trail.
Go running together one of these days. I'd love it.
That'd be good. Charlie, this was great. I mean, I love your business. I love your dedication to the community and sort of the thoughtfulness with which you've carved out balance in your life. And thanks for coming on the podcast and telling your story.
Jason. Appreciate it.
All right. Until next time.
Thanks.
All right. Super fun conversation with Charlie. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And get yourself over to the Big Dipper. Grab some ice cream as soon as you can. So coming up next week, we've got Aaron Swatulski. Aaron Swatulski is the executive director of Women's Voices for the Earth. Women's Voices for the Earth is a really important organization, and you should know about the important work they're doing. They're headquartered here in Missoula, but this is a nationwide organization. They're doing important work all across the country. They've done amazing things like gotten Procter & Gamble to the negotiating table, changed policy, changed law in Washington. Just an amazing organization doing important work. The organization is all about removing harmful chemicals from products, particularly products that women disproportionately interact with. So it was fun to learn about their work and inspiring to learn about all the incredible things Aaron's involved in. So stay tuned for next week. Remember that A New Angle was brought to you by CED, Consolidated Electrical Distributors. They're one of the largest electrical wholesale supply companies in the country with nearly 600 locations nationwide. CED is a privately owned business-to-business company that distributes just about every piece of equipment to keep your lights on, your energy flowing, and your lifestyle comfortable. CED is also an important employer in our community, and they have a keen interest in University of Montana graduates. To explore career opportunities, check out www.cedcareers.com. Moving forward, if you have any suggestions for guests, cool people doing awesome things, please let us know. And if you enjoy this podcast, there are several ways you can support it. First, please rate us on iTunes. Ratings help others find the podcast. Second, write a review. The more reviews we get, and hopefully positive ones, the more we can grow. And third, please just tell your friends about it. In addition, you can also support A New Angle financially. For information on sponsorship, please visit our website, www.business.umt.edu/anewangle. There you will also find a link to donate to the pod. Before we go, I'd like to thank a few folks for making this podcast happen. First off, great thanks to Elizabeth Willey, Communications Director at the University of Montana College of Business. And thanks to our fabulous interns, Savannah Sletton and Max Gibson. I'd also like to give a special shout out to VTO for providing us with music. And finally, thanks to my producer, Stefan Borsum. As we close, if you have any questions, suggestions, comments, insults, whatever, please email me at anewangle@umontana.edu. Help us spread the word and be sure to use the hashtag #anewangle when you do. Thanks and see you next time.